from BYU quarterback Jake Retzlaff and his receiver Darius Lassiter. Let's relive the best moments from that victory, shall we? ESPN's Trevor Maddich will join us and discuss the win over Oklahoma State. A really interesting matchup with UCF. And is BYU still ranked too low in the AP poll?
BYU football is the only team that had a big comeback win over the weekend. How about women's volleyball getting a comeback five-set winner against number 20 Utah? And we'll recap yet another typical week of chaos in the Big 12, highlighted by some surprising road upsets that I think Cougar Nation enjoyed quite a bit.
Lassiter getting it in! Touchdown! Touchdown! Touchdown!
Tell them, Greg Rebell! Welcome to BYU Sports Nation, presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere. Another winning Monday!
Let's go! 7-0! Yeah! Woo!
We have to keep doing it because BYU keeps winning.
Yeah, there's going to be a day where we don't do that.
This unless BYU goes Monday tradition as long as the win streak continues.
Unless BYU goes 15-0, 14-0. Come on, let's go. We'll just keep it going.
I am Spencer Linton. That is a very exuberant Jerem Jordan.
I just tore my labrum, just so everyone
Please
knows.
Please don't hurt yourself.
Tommy John. I'm out for a year and a half. You thought
seven
the six-week fraternity was bad.
Seven games in, wins. Just like we saw, Jerem, like you and I discussed ad nauseum all offseason.
We said BYU would win
seven wins
games this year. So, yeah, called it. How about Jay Hill and the coaches in the booth? This is some really fun video of them watching Darius Lassiter's game-winning touchdown catch. You got a camera in there. This is what it looked like and sounded like.
They are all of us right now.
Yeah! And then Darius is dancing. No one in the stadium is looking at Darius at all because they're turning to whoever's around
hugging complete strangers.
Yes, it was crazy.
In many instances, doesn't matter who's next. You just grab them and hug
them.
Well,
no one's a stranger there. You're all family. Okay? It's like the Olive Garden. Okay, and then Oklahoma State, Landon Cleveland, number 14. A funny video that came out. Apparently having some interaction
with
some BYU fans, and they turn and look at him after that touchdown, and this zoom in and his face, oh! He can't believe it either! Oh. Pretty funny.
Props to him for giving us some great content
that was
in
awesome.
That moment. And props to Darby Maloney for the video and our good friend Sean Bingham.
Sean Bingham!
Yeah, they were there. They were the ones that were experiencing that.
We know Sean. Good old iProvo days.
Let's go. Plenty of reason to rise and shout. Let's get to what's trending.
We needed this. Our program needed it, and we needed to come on top.
It's magical. It's spiritual. How can you not be romantic about this game?
On the deflection! Tommy Prassis picks it off! Throws in a window. 15, 10, 5! Lassiter getting it in!
What's trending presented by BYU Food to Go, the MVP of your next event. BYU gets a significant wake-up call. Odds stacked against the Cougars, and they just find a way. You know what? Great teams typically, Jerem, find a way. And they did. 38-35 to improve to 7-0. Just the fifth time in program history. This is the second time under Kalani Sitake. Also in 2020, when the schedule was a little bit easier.
This one's a little different, Spence.
Schedule was a little bit easier in 2020. But my goodness, just how it happened, Jerem. And we're going to break down all the little nuances of just how miraculous this was.
Yes.
But let's start with the play. Darius Lassiter's game-winning touchdown, 35 yards out, making dudes look silly after the game. I spoke to Darius and his quarterback, Jake Retzlaff, on what in the world happened and how they were able to pull that off.
Originally, it was a call to get JoJo open, where we got two seams from the inside and then dig on the outside. But once I ran my seam, I knew nobody was still following me, so I just peeled back. And then JoJo kind of went past me, and then I was just sitting right there in the open spot. And I was like, I seen the ball come. I was like, I don't know who he's throwing this to. I was like, but I'm finna go grab it. And so I ended up catching and making a guy miss and then making another one miss into the end zone.
A great play design and a great player making a great play. Coaches prepared us in every way, and Darius made a great play on the ball. I just can't. I mean, it was meant to be.
This is why I was brought here, to make big plays when in situations like this. And I'm grateful that I just had the opportunity to make that play for this team.
The legend of Darius Lassiter grows, Jerem. He's already made some eye-popping plays. obviously this runs but right to the top.
Darius Lassiter will come back in 20 years, and people will talk about that play. This is Jake Retzlaff's finest moment, by the way, so far. And this is Darius Lassiter's finest moment so far of this drive, this play, this win, keeping the dream alive. Undefeated, incredible. I love, too, that how he made so – I mean, three guys look silly there. Like, the one dude that tries – right here tries to –
Whee!
Ankle's broken. He's out for the year, too.
Awee!
Awee! Like, what in the world is that tackling? That was terrible. Navy 2020 – we didn't tackle in the preseason. Well, neither did Oklahoma State at the end of the game.
Wow.
Listen, this was different. This wasn't the great defense, short fields game, although they did have a one-play drive because Tanner Wall got to the one. They had that. This was negative margin. Defense gives up 30-plus for the first time all year, 400 yards-plus for the first time all year.
Not good.
How are you going to win? How are you going to figure it out? With a game-winning drive from Brigham Young at the very end.
With a minute
eight
to play.
Plays, 75 yards, 103 to get it done. The fourth and eight to Chase was massive. The 27-yard run by Jake Retzlaff where he didn't go out of bounds. We call that a Patrick Mahomes now after watching the Chiefs-Niners yesterday. And then you zigzag it in. You get that run. Jake told you after, I should have got to Chase way earlier. He was wide open.
He's
right?
Waving his arms.
He's waving his arms. Literally waved his arms. This run was big, too. Heading out of bounds. Nope. BYU needed all those yards. They really did. Because once they get inside the 35, it's like, okay, this could happen.
They have a shot.
And then the play. The play. We'll come up with a fun name with this. Haven't heard a good one quite yet. But what a moment there for this BYU team to win. You don't have to blow everybody out every game to be great. What you do have to do is win the game. And BYU figured out a different kind of way to win when everything didn't go well. Look at that number on the bottom of that graphic. 0.8% chance to win, ESPN's stats, when it was fourth and eight. Are you kidding me? BYU figured it out, baby.
Special seasons have special moments. And that's what makes special teams. This was that moment to date for BYU. Because you have a 99.2% chance of losing the game when it's fourth and eight from your own 27. Are you kidding me? And you just continue to make plays. And then it was a string of three consecutive plays. So the fourth and eight, well, not three consecutive, but three big plays that you just chronicled. The fourth and eight conversion, then Jake's decision, high IQ play to cut that, get chunk yardage, and then set up the game-winning touchdown. 10 seconds on the clock remaining. Kalani said after the game, those 10 seconds could not run off fast enough.
Right.
Because of what we had just seen, it's like, okay, well, now we have to avoid any sort of letdown here and just finish the game. And Oklahoma State actually got two plays.
Yeah. One second was left on the clock. I was like, where's the home cooking from the game operator?
Like the clock started slow.
How did 1 second stay on the clock? But BYU was perfect down the stretch there. Those first three plays, it's like, oh, my gosh. Are they going to go out on fourth down right now? Nope. Completion, the big run. Even then, Spence, if you're at the 35-yard line with like 19 seconds left, you probably have like max three plays, one timeout. You get it to Darius instead of just going out of bounds, which, by the way, you know, one coach told me after, Darius is the only guy that's going to make that play, like to go inside as opposed to outside and get out. No, he goes right at the end zone.
He goes and attacks.
Because when he gets in, it's 10 seconds left. What if he gets tackled short? You got the one timeout. You probably got two pass plays into the end zone. Who knows? Maybe it doesn't work. The fact that he gets in, scores, BYU takes the lead. Oh, my gosh. Amazing. I wonder if BYU wins this game if Ollie Gordon II doesn't get hurt and Garrett Rangel doesn't get hurt. They were getting chewed up. Like, the BYU defense, you know, still had issues, but benefited from some injuries in this game. But it's in the end,
you still have to make the
cards,
play.
Yeah, the cards that you have, that you're dealt, you play with those. So, you know, big challenge with another, an even better running team in UCF this weekend. But I'm so happy for BYU that they figured it out. And Jake Retzlaff specifically in the second half bounced back.
Weird first half.
Right? Let's look at the numbers. First half, 6 of 14, 104, two interceptions, 43 rushing yards, did have a rush touchdown. In the second half, 7 of 12, 114, feels like most of that came on that last drive. Two touchdowns passing, 38 rushing yards, 27 on that last drive. He was better in the second half. These aren't monster numbers, but you just have to do it when you need it. And BYU needed it, and he delivered.
Yes, and he continues to do this. Can we now believe that Jake is that guy? He's the guy that when you need a play, He's going to make it. He's done it enough times. We should believe it.
That game-winning drive, by the way, multiple sources, record breaker Joseph Hovey saying, this is the first game-winning drive for BYU with under 2 minutes or a minute and a half left since 2015 at Nebraska. Like, this doesn't happen a lot. That was clutch, dog.
So I had a great conversation with Festi Satake after the game. I know you spoke with him too, Jerem. I thought he brought up some fantastic points. Notably, he said, remember how the defense just figured it out against SMU? It was an ugly 18-15 win, but they somehow, even after turning the ball over in terrible scenarios, terrible field position.
Two red zone takeaways, come on.
Kept SMU out of the end zone. It was a little bit of a miracle. He said that what that did for the defense in the SMU game, our offense just provided for this team.
You help each other.
Like, the defense couldn't get it done today like we needed them to.
Yeah.
But the offense, they won the game when BYU needed them to. So he's like,
isn't that friendship?
Yes.
You're down, I help you. I'm down, you help me. Like, that's
complimentary
what that
football. So he said, like, just like the defense, what that made them believe at SMU, now our offense believes because of this moment tonight.
This was the offense's greatest hour. Like, okay, we're going to go toe for toe here, and we're going to have a late score. Second half, BYU only has four possessions. They score on every single one. 24 points, and they made it happen, man, including, of course, the 8-play, 75-yard, 103 touchdown winning drive.
And an all-run drive.
Right.
7 plays.
Right.
All runs. 69 yards, touchdown. Just smash-mouth football.
The run game's getting lost in this, by the way. The run game. Does everyone realize BYU ran for 255? 7.1 yards per tote. LJ Martin's first 100-yard game. By the way,
when's the last time BYU averaged over 7 yards a carry?
7.2. It's the most since Stanford 2022.
Doesn't happen often.
Record breaker sports. They do good stuff with stats. Okay, that was amazing. So congrats to BYU because LJ and the ground game were awesome, bro.
They were incredible, and he's so understated, speaking of L.J. Martin.
Right.
After the game, it's like, hey, well, how was it? He's like, oh, the guys, they're blocking up.
You know, it's like, dude.
They did a good job.
You were awesome.
You know, I'm like, but this is his mentality, and I love it. It's who he is. But
and how about Hinkley,
too? Hinkley Rapati had some nice moments.
7.8 yards per carry. Obviously, his interception is not great. Don't throw that ball. Eat it.
And again, BYU overcame it.
Right. BYU overcame it.
They had two bad turnovers deep in Oklahoma State territory. Not all turnovers are created equally. BYU was looking like they were going to score points clearly on both of those drives and then thwarted by bad decisions.
Yeah.
But you overcome that, and certainly BYU's run attack stepped up big time. Jake Retzlaff, 81 yards, Jerem. I know that he got the big chunk on that last drive, but Jake Retzlaff, 7 games in, being one of BYU's leading rushers, is one of the more eye-popping stats all season.
And he gained 86 because he had a sack for 5 yards, so even more.
Only one sack given up, too.
Only one sack.
Shout out to the offensive line.
Yep.
Center Bruce Mitchell once again.
Wow. Like, Austin Leosa, right guard. Like, you're playing two backups right now that weren't starting. Amazing.
By the way, Jake, he's still the leading rusher.
Not for long. LJ hits 9 yards.
LJ goes for 120.
LJ going to outrush Jake by 9.
Yeah, and I'm fascinated to watch what BYU's run game does against UCF. We'll push that forward later in the week.
Which, by the way, we got a fun week. We're in Kansas City the next 2 days, and we're going to still talk football.
We need to discuss, basketball.
We will.
Men's and women's.
But
media days, but
yeah,
football
yes.
will also carry the conversation. That is for sure.
Let's talk about, you talked about the offense carrying BYU. Let's talk about the defense.
It's a unique game.
This was not, the greatest hour for the BYU defense. I do want to credit BYU with getting 2 takeaways. That was important. I think if they don't.
Still made some plays.
Maybe a little.
Tanner Wall, Tommy Prassas.
Dude, they call him Tip Tommy. He gets all the tips in practice. Tanner Wall, back-to-back games with an interception. 35 points allowed, 421 total. That's, first time 400-plus. 269 rush allowed. Can't have that happen again and feel like you're going to have a great win percentage chance, especially against UCF.
I think 109 of those yards came on 2 plays.
Yes, the 50-yarder from Ollie Gordon was the longest play allowed of the season. Then Rangel for 54, which is wild. The BYU's defense had not, the dam hadn't broken in that way before. So these numbers, not great. Third downs, man, couldn't get off the field. So these are all season worsts. But you kind of love it because BYU still won. And it was the wake-up call that BYU needed.
Yes.
I think going into UCF, the defense is like, okay, RJ Harvey, Ja'Kari Brown at quarterback. These guys run the ball on 67% of all offensive plays. I think they'll be much more prepared this week. Can they execute better than they did Friday? I hope so.
It's not often you can be humbled and put back on your heels a little bit and you still win the game.
It's rare.
But that's exactly what Kalani Sitake was telling me after the game. We're so grateful that we were able to figure out, and I'm paraphrasing his words, that we were able to figure out this win, but gosh, we got to get better. You know, like, so, and he talked about what the game meant. So again, he's not overlooking just how special that was, that unbelievable moment when the crowd is in a frenzy.
Oh,
delirium.
Dude, sweaty palms.
Delirium.
Like, I'm in the press box and I can feel the perspiration from everyone just like, oh my gosh, is it coming to an end? We're going to lose. And then BYU miraculously wins.
But again, you are humbled, but you still find a way to remain perfect and win the game. And here is Coach Sitake, speaking of, on what this win means for BYU.
You know, I was going to say it wasn't pretty, but I'll take it. It was pretty. It was a pretty win. We needed this. Our program needed it, and we needed to come on top. And so obviously we're going to get better from this.
We've been screaming.
I know what he means by that.
Yeah, yeah. We've been screaming, enjoy the moment.
Yes.
The message is no different today.
Joy in the journey is your favorite EFY song. Was sung in the night. Did you have that cassette tape?
Yeah. Well, I don't know if I had the cassette tape. I had one.
You have a CD?
I had one of the CDs.
Nice.
Trying to remember what
there
season.
There is joy in the journey.
Yeah, Season for Courage, I think, is the one I have.
Hey, it is a football season for courage every week. BYU on top of the Big 12, baby.
Yes. So he said, no, this was pretty. It's all wins are amazing. It is hard to win college football games. It is even harder to win Power 4 college football games. And there BYU stands on top of the Big 12 with Iowa State.
UCF could have helped bring them out a little bit here by winning on the road. By the way, Iowa State looked vulnerable too.
Against the run specifically of UCF.
Same exact score in those games, by the way.
No, yeah, we saw the Spider-Man meme show up. BYU, Iowa State, same score, survive a home field upset against a team that you're a big favorite against.
What?
Crazy. Weird.
What?
Like weird.
And the
things.
Most shocking score of the weekend, that Utah is a third loss in Big 12 play. Andy Ludwig, the offensive coordinator, steps down. Wow.
Hey, that along with Baylor. Absolutely embarrassing
Baylor.
Texas Tech.
Wow.
So now there are only two unbeaten teams in Big 12 because of Baylor.
Yeah. Big picture, hoping BYU has one loss going into what is a hopeful Big 12 title game. If you can keep it to one or zero, of course.
Obviously.
You get to the Big 12 title game. If it's two, I think there's a bunch of tiebreakers there that could get weird.
Okay. We just went through just how unique this win was. The celebration, also one for the books.
So fun.
And very unique. So our question of the day is this: where were you when Darius Lassiter scored that improbable game-winning touchdown against Oklahoma State? And how did you celebrate? I'm not kidding when I tell you that I had a friend of a friend tear his calf muscle celebrating so hard that he ended up in the emergency room.
Whoa!
He ended up in the ER and said, didn't care. It was worth it. Wow.
That's funny.
The Josh Landon on X said, I was just at home watching it with my wife, but I got up so fast to run around my basement to cheer. I got so lightheaded and fainted.
Oh!
Don't worry, I'm fine.
Hey, everybody, take it easy. Wow. Glad everybody's okay.
Jennifer Box Erickson on Instagram says, with my husband as he recovers from another round of chemo. Wow. Ooh. It was a much-needed boost for us. We love you.
Wow. That's
that
more serious.
That is awesome.
Yeah.
And we are so glad that you
Anything
shared that with us.
To provide positivity.
Yes.
That's difficult.
Good luck to you in that battle. Yep. Amazing. At 33 Gregorio on X says, Section 133, Row 10, Seat 9, jumping up and down with my buddies.
My in-laws were in town over the weekend, and they went to the game. It's probably the only game they're going to make it to this year. Hey, maybe they'll come back to some more. Who knows? Maybe they'll go to Dallas. But I'm glad
what
that they
game.
Were there.
Robin, what a game for
Robin
them to
Pam
visit.
Enjoyed that one.
Holy cow.
Let's go. Okay, BYU climbs to number 11, two spots in the AP poll. Is that still not high enough, or are you good?
I'm okay with number 11. I would be fun for BYU to be in the top 10. I thought that 7-0 would put them in the top 10 going to UCF, and I said as much in the weeks leading up to this.
Why wouldn't it?
But apparently there just hasn't been enough chaos above BYU for the voters to feel like the Cougars belong there. Again, just one spot outside of the top 10, but if BYU can figure out a way to use this as motivation, great. They can figure out a way to use being a two-point favorite on the road against UCF when they are 7-0 and ranked number 11, great. Do it. But I'm okay with it. Also, it's my lucky number. So,
You're like 11? 11's your number.
Like, weirdly, I'm feeling really good about BYU being number 11.
Was that like your jersey number growing up?
I was.
At Northridge?
Uh-huh. And nice. I was born on the 11th of December.
Yes, you were.
So, this always kind of been my number.
1911, which is crazy.
What's better than one number one? Two number ones, Jared.
Two number ones. It's two ones. There's only one team I think BYU should be ranked above right now in the top 10. It's Clemson. If only BYU had a 31-point loss to Georgia, they'd be ranked higher, I guess.
But you know what I was happy about? BYU is now ranked above Notre Dame.
And Alabama.
And I think BYU deserves to be ranked above Notre Dame.
We live in a world where Indiana is ranked above Alabama as well.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty fun.
They're destroying their competition.
Keep winning and you'll climb. Not too worried about it. I'm not worried about what it is now. I'm worried about what it is in December.
Yes. Yes. If BYU can beat UCF, and I know that's a huge if, two time zones. We know all about UCF's running attack.
I know they have a losing record. They lost four in a row.
They're a good team.
This is a tough game.
They can run the ball.
I think UCF's better than Oklahoma State. And now you're playing on the road.
They have some deficiencies in their passing defense and in giving up points. No question. Yeah. But does the BYU offense, again, this is another one of those things where BYU's offense needs to outscore UCF. This is an interesting matchup. But if they win that game, speaking of BYU, and then go into the bye week 8-0, they will be a top 10 team going to Salt Lake City. They will be in the top 10. There will be enough movement in above them, and voters respect what BYU has done in their resume enough that the Cougars aren't going to drop. No one's going to leapfrog them. I think that they will deservedly so, move up a couple of spots and be a top 10 team going to Utah.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, just beat UCF.
One game at a time. Coach Jordan and Coach Linton over here.
BYU women's volleyball. You know how we roll. We love to go into coach speak mode on this show.
No, we don't, except for right
now. BYU women's volleyball with their own dramatics over the weekend. You had a courtside seat for the entire match.
They let me sit courtside. That was fun.
Jerem, they won a match against a good team in five sets. This has not often been the case. Yeah, they've done it before.
Yes, 1-5 in five sets, Spence.
It hasn't happened a ton.
1-5, and in those five, all by 2 points. So it's like, oh, man, what's going to happen?
Did they exercise the five-set demons by beating Utah in five sets?
Perhaps. You need to see it more than just once. But Utah State by four, and now Utah in five by, four. So it was by three. It was great. Huge crowd. BYU was down 10-7 in the fifth. I mean, awesome for this very young team. Five of the seven starters are underclassmen. Utah has eight seniors. Mm. Super senior heavy. It only lost twice all year. Great win for women's volleyball. They play at Colorado Friday. Keep it going, ladies.
I'm trying to remember the turning point. Was it 10-8 when they had that long rally and the BYU block came up?
There was a rally that was a minute and 12 seconds. It was awesome.
Yeah, crazy. Some amazing points in that match.
Yeah.
Huge win, like you said.
Yeah.
Keep it rolling.
Yeah, keep it going. Coordinator's Corner today should be fun. 2 Eastern time on the BYU TV app. Defensive coordinator Jay Hill cheering in the press box on that last play like everybody was. And offensive coordinator Aaron Roderick are on the program today.
After the break, it's a seventh straight edition of a winning Mattich Monday.
Yeah.
As we look back on how in the world BYU figured out a win over Oklahoma State. And what it means for the Cougars moving forward. Does Trevor like the matchup with UCF? This is BYUSN.
This segment of BYU Sports Nation presented by BYU Food to Go, the MVP of your next event.
What's the mentality of this team moving forward?
Right now we're 7-0. Next goal is just to be 8-0. Simple as that.
Live in Studio B. This is your day-to-day BYU Sports play-by-play. I'm Spencer Linton, teamed up with Jerem Jordan on another winning Monday. And for that matter, on another Mattich Monday. Joining us now over Zoom is ESPN college football insider and expert, fresh off a very busy weekend of work in his ESPN studios, Trevor Mattich, back to discuss just how in the world BYU survived Oklahoma State and got to 7-0, because it was one of those moments, Trevor, when BYU had a 0.8% chance to win on 4th-and-7 deep in their own territory with under a minute to play, and they pull it off. How, in your opinion, did BYU make this happen?
it's hard to explain, really. I mean, you could say they pulled it off because they believed they could. They pulled it off because they had the talent to do it. They pulled it off because they kept on punching away and punching away. And all those things are true. But there comes a point where all of those things come together in a moment. And you can't really explain it just with data, just with facts. It is a thing that players feel on the sideline, that coaches feel on the sideline, that gets onto the field. And BYU has had several of those moments over the course of this season. And this was one of them. It was amazing. I mean, there was a lot of despair in that stadium when they were down 4 points with a minute to go, you know, just over a minute to go. And they had struggled on offense at times. And the next thing you know, bang, bang, and they score the game-winning touchdown. And when you try to analyze it, you can say, okay, well, this play worked because of this, and that weight play worked because of that. But when it comes down to it, it was one of those synergies of everything that comes together when a team has things going for them.
I love that it was a different way, too. We talked about that the last couple of weeks. There's going to be a game where BYU loses the margin or the defense struggles, offense got to win it or whatnot. This was that game, minus one in margin. Defense gave up a bunch of yards and points. We hadn't seen that before. Now BYU has to have a game-winning drive with under a minute 30 left. And wow, Jake Retzlaff to Chase Roberts on fourth down. The 27-yard run by Jake Retzlaff. Darius Lassiter makes people look like fools, breaking ankles, getting into the end zone. What impressed you the most about how BYU won this game?
You know, that game-winning drive that you're talking about, what impressed me the most about that was clock management. Right? The least sizzle of everything that you described, all those great plays, all those great moments, clock management. They're down four, they're what, 75 yards away, and they ran eight plays in the space of just over a minute. Eight plays in just over a minute, and they hit that game winner. And that, to me, was the most important thing, because we talk about all the things that Jake Retzlaff has done for this team this year with his arm, with his legs, with his leadership. Managing that drive tells you something else about Jake, that the art of quarterbacking is advancing in him, that he's not just a guy that can sling the ball sidearm anywhere on the field. He can take off and run. He can do all those things. He can play quarterback, and that's important, because you've got a long legacy of great quarterbacking, not just great throwers, great quarterbacks. And the art of quarterbacking includes seeing how much time you have left, seeing what you need to do, and then managing what you need to do within the time that you have. And eight plays in just over a minute, to me, was magnificent.
It's Maddich Monday on BYU Sports Nation with ESPN's Trevor Maddich. Trevor, there's this growing idea that BYU is, quote unquote, lucky, that the bounces are just going their way. Now you compare that to BYU needing to make plays specifically on that last drive and all throughout the season. So where do you stand in that conversation of BYU is just a lucky team versus they've earned all of this?
I think both are true. They have had some bounces go their way. They've had some tip balls go their way. But at the same time, if it happens in one game, maybe you're lucky. If it happens in two or three, maybe you're really lucky. But if it keeps happening over and over again, maybe you're good at it. And this is where I think BYU has developed that knack, for lack of a better word, of taking advantage of those bounces. Because when the ball bounces in their favor, you still have to take advantage of it. You still have to make it work. And I think that last drive against Oklahoma State is part of it. You know, there was nothing really that went their way on that. They had to take everything that they got on that drive to score the game winner. And so I think that's something that you also have to take into account. But also, things going their way, opponents making mistakes, opponents making a key turnover or penalty at a critical moment, those are things that have also benefited BYU. And so they've got to continue to improve as a team in order to be able to enforce their will, even when the opponent doesn't make some of those mistakes. Now, does that mean that BYU is lucky? I'm not saying that at all. I think BYU is opportunistic. BYU has been able to enforce its will in multiple ways on defense, on offense, on special teams. But at the same time, as they continue to improve, then I think people won't tend to think that, well, gee, they needed that lucky bounce in order to win, even though I don't think they did.
The Roman philosopher Seneca said, luck is what happens when preparation meets opportunity. So I guess BYU is lucky in that way. They prepare and they get the opportunity and they take it away. They seize the moment. How about the run game, Trev? 7.1 yards per carry. LJ Martin has his first 100-yard game. He's a touchdown scoring machine right now. Two in three of the four games he's had this year. What'd you see from the run game and this BYU offensive line that is playing two different starters, including Bruce Mitchell at center?
Now, the run game has been phenomenal. I mean, we knew this was a good offensive line with the potential to be one of the best offensive lines in recent years at BYU. And it didn't really show up in the stats so much early in the season when Hinkley Rapati and L.J. Martin were injured. The backups that came in, the third and fourth and fifth running backs, they kept things going. They kept winning games. Everything worked out. But the offensive line, I think, wasn't getting the credit that they deserved. Now, all of a sudden, you've got L.J. and Hinkley back, and you could see how they work together so well. I mean, L.J. averaged 6 yards a carry, Hinkley about 8 yards per carry, and that opens up everything else, and it makes it easier to break down defenses with a mobile quarterback because you've got that foundation of that pounding run. And then they'll make a statement with it. I mean, it was their first drive of the second half? They had a touchdown drive where they ran the ball every single play. Every single play was a run. And to me, I was thinking not of the O-line or the running backs at that moment. I was thinking of Coach Satake, who's an old fullback at BYU. And he's one of the most passionate coaches, he's got that instinct to drive the opponent into the ground and then hug him after the game and love him up. But during the game, you don't want to stand in front of Kalani Satake at all. And when they were doing that, a touchdown drive with nothing but runs, I was thinking this is a reflection of their head coach. And I loved it. But they had most of the O-line together. They had the running backs back together. And then Bruce Mitchell at center did a magnificent job. I mean, he was fantastic all game long. And it all came together, and it was a great performance.
Trevor Maddich on BYU Sports Nation. The Cougar offense, of course, doing enough and delivering late. The BYU defense left some things to be desired, and I say that really for the first time all season. Oklahoma State's run game and Ollie Gordon II, all of a sudden he looked like the reigning Doak Walker Award winner that we expected him to be. And their offensive line looked like what we expected them to be, but it was to BYU's frustration. So, Trevor, what concerns do you have moving forward, knowing that BYU is going to face one of the best, if not the best, rushing attack in the entire country when they face UCF this Saturday?
Well, it is a concern, and you have to start by giving credit to Oklahoma State. You know, we talked last week about how they last year played in the Big 12 championship game. They brought back an All-America running back in Ollie Gordon. They brought back an experienced offensive line, an experienced quarterback. They hadn't put it together this year, but they had a bye week coming into the BYU game to put it together, and boy, did they with that running game. And that's a problem. And when you look at part of the reason why was not just Oklahoma State, but it was BYU also on defense, got over-aggressive sometimes. And they lost contain more often than they should have. They had guys going after the ball instead of staying in their gap. And that allowed for some breakout runs by Oklahoma State. Now, I want to be careful about that because the last thing you want to do with this BYU defense is take away their aggressiveness. You don't want to say, no, don't be aggressive because sometimes you'll end up out of your lane. Now, part of the reason they're undefeated, a big reason why they're undefeated, is that BYU's defense goes after the opponent. They show up where they're not expected really fast, and they end up taking the ball away. And these are things that make them great this year. But they bit them a little bit against Oklahoma State. So what they'll need to do against UCF is maintain that aggression, but have more mindfulness of making sure that they're in their gap. And don't allow those breakouts. I mean, some of those key runs for Oklahoma State were out wide. And normally you would want to see a contained guy either being blocked out there or a contained guy getting beat out there by a great move. Because the other side's good, too. Sometimes you'll just get beat or sometimes the block will work. But there were times when it's like, okay, where's the contained guy? And you had trouble identifying where he was. So these are things that BYU's defense can get better at. But they need to get better at those things while not losing that ability to get into the backfield and attack the football, especially against a team like UCF, because you don't want to let their downhill running game get started on you. You want to stop them in the backfield You just have to do it in your own lane.
Certainly have to get that done. 14 big plays in this game. First time BYU's given up 30-plus, 400 yards. Now you play UCF on a two-time zone away game in the afternoon, a team that rushes for a million yards, who nearly beat Iowa State. Probably should have won that game, Trevor. BYU a favorite, but not by much. What do you make of this matchup as BYU tries to go for 8-0?
This is a tough matchup. I mean, they're, you know, like you guys have mentioned, they're third in the nation in rushing. They run a majority of the time. They just come downhill at you, and it's just relentless. Now, I think fans will look at their record and say, well, they've lost their last four games in a row. But the reason they lost those games was not because they couldn't pound the run. There were other things that stepped up, and they also played four really good teams. So there were outstanding opponents that they lost to. But this team, from a standpoint of BYU, is going to stress BYU in the ways that the Cougars need to improve on if they hope to get to where they want to go. And it starts with the ability to stop the run. It starts with the ability to get them off the field on third and fourth down. I mean, go back to Oklahoma State. And Oklahoma State, what would have been their game-winning drive, to go up 35-31 before the Cougars came back and had that late drive to win it, that was a 17-play drive by Oklahoma State. There were five different opportunities to get them off the field on third or fourth down, and they didn't succeed on any of those five, and it ended up in an Oklahoma State go-ahead touchdown. Well, the Cougars right now on defense are 102nd in the nation, I think, in giving up third down percentage. So if you can't get them off the field, UCF, it becomes a snowball, because now they're not only gaining yards, but they're keeping you on the field. As you stay on the field, you get more and more exhausted. As you get more exhausted, they run the ball more successfully, and everything becomes this huge snowballing issue. And so they've got to stop them on third down and get them off the field. That's the key for the BYU defense here. And how do they do that? They do that with penetration. They've got to get penetration off the edge, in the middle. They've got to stop plays before they get started and get them into third and long, because they throw the ball fairly well, but it's not nearly as effective as their running game on third and manageable.
Trevor, BYU in at number 11 this week in the AP poll, and we have learned that along with Georgia, they are one of two teams in the entire country that have two wins against currently ranked opponents. That's it. It's just BYU and Georgia. How do you feel like BYU is being assessed from a national perspective at number 11?
I think BYU is being shown a lot of respect. I think 11 is fine for now, in part because it doesn't really matter. BYU takes care of business, and they'll make the playoff. And if BYU really takes care of business with a little bit of help, it's even possible to get a bye, a first-round bye, because they might be one of the top four highest-ranked conference champions. Keep in mind that you don't have to be in the top four to get that bye. You just have to be one of the top four highest-ranked conference champions. So they could be ranked eighth in the nation, but get the number four seed and a bye. Now, the team shouldn't be thinking like this, but fans, sure, why not think about this? There are tricky games ahead, but where they're ranked now is not nearly as relevant as what they do going forward, because they've got some really tricky games ahead, including this UCF game. And if they're able to get by that, then they're at Utah. They've got Arizona State coming up, which has another power running game. And so these are the kinds of things that if BYU takes care of business at 11 right now, they're close enough to be in range of the playoff and of a potential bye. But then again, they've got a lot of work to do. And if they get to, in order to get to that, you know, bye, they would have to win the Big 12. And in order to do that, they got to get to the championship game, and they've got to beat probably either Iowa State or Kansas State, most likely could be Colorado, could be Texas Tech, a lot of really good teams in order to get there. So I say this because there are a ton of scenarios. And from a fan standpoint, they're all really fun. But BYU is in position right now at number 11 for all of those dreams to come true. What the team needs to be thinking about and what they are thinking about is UCF, and that's it.
Yeah, hard not to believe BYU got a stark wake-up call with how close that Oklahoma State game was. Trevor, we enjoyed your coverage in studio at ESPN all weekend long. It was a wild weekend of college football, and we appreciate you making time for us every Monday in your busy schedule.
Thanks, guys. I appreciate you having me on.
You got it. The great Trevor Maddich, once again on BYU Sports Nation. We live in a world where BYU is ranked in a better position than Alabama.
and Notre Dame and Texas A&M. Let's go, baby. Life is good right now. Let's go. After further review, tomorrow night, 7 Eastern on the BYU TV app as the boys break down the amazing comeback against Oklahoma State.
After the break as well, we recap a busy weekend. BYU Sports, plenty of headlines to cover. So do yourself a favor and stay with us. This is BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by The BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Come hang out with us the next couple of days. We'll be live from Kansas City at T-Mobile Center in the Big 12 Basketball Media Days. Can't wait for that as we get ready for the season. Before the season, we thought, oh, you know what? We might be talking basketball a little early if, you know, BYU's struggling a little bit. Nope. 7-0. 7-0, not talking about hoops like at all.
Welcome back to Studio B. I'm Spencer. He's Jerem. Let's roll out your Monday headlines.
Number 13 football beats Oklahoma State 38-35 in dramatic fashion. Jake Retzloff to Darius Lassiter, 35-yard touchdown call. Here's what it sounded like from Greg Wrubell.
Second and 10, poke 35. 19 seconds on the clock, 35-31. Jake in the pocket, throws in a window, 15-10, 5, Lassiter getting it.
That was exciting. With the win, BYU 7-0, fifth time in school history, climbed two spots in the AP poll to number 11.
Let Darius dance. BYU junior quarterback Jake Retzloff named to the Davey O'Brien Award Grade 8 list for his performance in that 38-35 win over OSU on Friday. Retzloff also added to the official Davey O'Brien Award midseason watch list. He's passed for 1,644 yards, 16 touchdowns. He's BYU's leading rusher through 7 games, 265 yards and 2 touchdowns.
Kick time for BYU's game at UCF will be at 3:30 Eastern on ESPN. Pre-game coverage 1:30 Eastern on BYU TV, BYU Radio. Cougars currently a 2-point favorite, even though the Knights are riding a 4-game losing streak. Tough game.
On to Cougars in the NFL. We start things with Fred Warner, who had 8 tackles for the 49ers in a 28-18 loss to Andy Reid, Kingsley Suamataia, and Kansas City. Tyler Allgeier ran 5 times for 36 yards in a Falcons 34-14 loss to the Seahawks. Michael Davis had 1 tackle for the Commanders in a 40-7 win over the Carolina Panthers and Brady Christensen. Zane Anderson had 1 tackle for the Packers in a 24-22 win over the Texans. Ryan Rico punted 8 times for the Cincinnati Bengals, an average of 44.3 yards per kick in a 7-point win over the Browns. And Kyle Van Noy and the Baltimore Ravens take on the Tampa Bay Bucks. And Kyrus Tonga and his Arizona Cardinals face the Los Angeles Chargers of San Diego tonight, both on Monday Night Football.
Number 24 women's volleyball beat number 20 Utah in 5 sets. BYU trailed 2-1 and then 10-7 in the fifth, rallied to get the win. Nice win for the Cougars. Heather Olmstead's 250th at BYU.
Number 2 women's cross country wins the Wisconsin Pre-Nationals over the weekend against several top teams in the country. All of the top 5 ranked teams competed in Saturday's race. It's notable. BYU's Lexi Halliday-Lowry was the Cougars' highest finisher. 9th individually, the Cougars' top 5 runners were all in the top 35.
Pre-Nationals national champions. Women's soccer hosts Houston tonight. Senior night, final home game of the regular season. Seniors Tara Warner, Savannah Hansen honored at tonight's game. 9 Eastern on ESPN+.
BYU men's golf teed off earlier this morning at the Leadership and Golf Collegiate in Monterey, California.
Congrats to Patrick Fishburne and Zach Blair for making the cut at the Shriners Children Open on the PGA Tour this weekend. Fishburne finished tied for 34th at 11 under par, and Blair finished tied for 61st at 2-under.
Both got paid. That's what's up.
BYU football with Kalani Sitake tomorrow at 8:30 Eastern on the BYU TV app. Can't wait to see the coach with the Hema Hemuli produced program. Mm.
And who won Big 12 Pick'em over the weekend? All sorts of wild results, including Baylor. What the heck? This is BYU Sports Nation. Live in Studio B, time to recap the weekend in the always unpredictable Big 12 Conference.
It's predictable that it will be unpredictable.
Yes, yeah. That is the one thing we know for sure, is that it is unpredictable. So let's start with Cincinnati and Arizona State, Jerem.
Bearcats beat the what do they call the mascot again? Sparky or something? 24-14, Arizona State. Soresby, 232 and 2 touchdowns. Arizona State missed 2 field goals and lost. Head coach Kenny Dillingham after the game said they'd be holding kicking trials today. He later apologized for that. Glenn and I picked Cincinnati. You had Arizona State. Kansas beats Houston, 42-14. Jalen Daniels finally figures it out. 305 total yards, 4 touchdowns. Devin Neal ran for a hundy. We all had Kansas in that one. Colorado Big surprise, 34-7 dominated Arizona. Jordan Sanders, 250 and 2. Arizona only 245 of total O. I had Colorado. You and Glenn had Arizona.
I still don't know what to make of Colorado. I have no idea what they're going to do week to week.
And then our favorite score of the weekend with not BYU. TCU beats Utah 13-7, only 267 of total offense. Andy Ludwig steps down as offensive coordinator. We all had Utah winning that game.
We all picked Utah to win that game to bounce back.
TCU with a big win. Utah 1-3 in the Big 12.
Lost three straight.
Crazy. Didn't see that preseason.
When's the last time Utah lost three straight games? It has been a very long time.
Season?
My goodness. All right, number 9, Iowa State. Survive a scare from UCF. They were down 35-27 in the fourth quarter.
That would have been nice for BYU. Then they could have crept in the top 10, right?
Rocco Becht, Iowa State's quarterback, 1-yard touchdown run with 30 seconds remaining in the game to give the Cyclones the win by the same score that BYU survived Oklahoma State. UCF ran for 354 yards in that loss. Glenn Kozlowski, Jerem, myself, we all pick Iowa State and get the point. Baylor, 59 points in a rout of Texas Tech in Lubbock. Sawyer Robertson, we know he's good.
He's from Lubbock, by the way.
His return home was an unforgettable one. 5 touchdown passes, a career high for him. I told you on Friday, this feels like a Baylor upset.
You said by 24, too. I thought that was crazy. No, you didn't.
So I'm the only one who gets the point there. You and Glenn both picked Texas Tech. Kansas State, 45, West Virginia, 18.
West Virginia's not good.
Neil Brown said after the game, West Virginia's head coach, Kansas State's the best team in the Big 12. Interesting.
Really? They lost by 29-1 Brigham Young.
Avery Johnson, 298 yards passing, 3 touchdowns. DJ Giddens, good running back, added 2 rushing scores in the win. Glenn picked West Virginia. He was picking with his heart. He wanted that loss for BYU.
Yeah.
We both picked Kansas State. Good point.
Yeah.
13th pick BYU, 38. Oklahoma State, 35.
I heard that.
All 3 of us take the point there with BYU just, you know, too easily getting by the Cowboys. That was wild. Guest picker standings now. Ashley Hatch with her win percentage, 4 out of 5, still on top.
Yep.
Glenn Kozlowski, strong 5-3 performance.
Third.
He's in at number 3.
Okay.
And he pushes BYU basketball head coach Kevin Young out of the top 3.
Very
He's
nice.
Now down to number 4, tied with Jimmer Fredette.
Very nice.
You win the week with a record of 6-2, Jerem. I tied Glenn Kozlowski with that 5-3 mark. You're 33-14 total on the year. I'm 30-17, so you're plus 3.
Just 3 games. All the games, just 3 games. Wow. Women's soccer hosts Houston tonight, senior night at South Field. You can watch it on ESPN Plus at 9 Eastern time.
All right, we keep rolling on this winning Monday. So many responses to our question of the day about where you were when Darius Lassiter scored the game-winning touchdown and how you celebrated. This is BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by The BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Welcome back with our question of the day. Where were you when Darius Lassiter scored the game-winning touchdown against Oklahoma State, and how did you celebrate?
The pictures are great.
At JeremPat17 on X says, I was at Disneyland.
Wait, about Jerem with an E?
Mm-hmm.
What?
I was at Disneyland about to get on the Peter Pan ride with the family and started screaming. People were just staring at me confused.
They should. If you just randomly scream, like, are you okay?
All right, buddy.
Yeah.
All right. Tinkerbell gave you a little bit too much fairy dust there.
By the way, this just in, the Manning Award, sponsored by the All-State Sugar Bowl. Jake Retzloff, one of 8 quarterbacks in the Stars of the Week.
That's awesome.
Awards.
Roll them up. Our elite voice of the day presented by PAX Healthcare Elevated from the aforementioned friend of ours, Sean Bingham on X.
Sean Bingham.
Who said, row 1, right behind the Oklahoma State bench with my nephews, letting all their players know who'd been talking trash to us, know what's up. Ha ha.
Who started it? I don't care. I know who finished it. That's awesome.
That's great stuff. Again, so many of you sending in great submissions. Continue to send those in. We're loving reading about these stories. Today's Rise and Shout-Out presented by Mountain America, the official credit union of BYU Athletics.
On the show that is a BYU football home game, it used to be that you come for the game. Now you go. The game is like the main thing, but there's so much around it. The drone show is incredible. The 84 National Championship team there. The Cougar Walk, the pregame, the fire dancers, Cosmo on top of the scoreboard.
Amazing.
On the south end this time. It is an amazing experience to be at a BYU home football game. Only 6 a year. Special days.
Shout out to David Almadova and the athletic marketing crew.
Yes, absolutely.
It is a show within the show. That is
a show that features a football game.
It's unbelievable. All right, our thanks to today's guest, ESPN's Trevor Maddich.
Sergeant Dennis Pettit. We're off to Kansas City, baby. We'll see you there tomorrow.
For Jerem Jordan, I am Spencer Linton. Shout out to Kurt Gavay. We'll see you for Coordinator's Corner at 2 p.m. Eastern. Go Cougs.